Who was this man? What was he?
Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Velo Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Only fan star, TikTok vixen, fisticuffs, details. Later, strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
You know, we like to joke about Florida a lot, but when you get past all the punchlines, they really do have one of the top-notch academic systems, doing some cutting-edge research, bringing humanity new innovations and new breakthroughs and making life better. This is not one of those weeks. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Details on Florida Stories.
Would your workplace make a great TV show? I had one that did. Details coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of the mounted cop's horse that drops dead in the back of a bar. How did the cop get his horse out without raising suspicion? That answer is coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Is that smoke you're seeing? You better get out of the Walmart. Details later. People at Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Everybody's very excited in Philadelphia listening on WPHT because this is the third night that Taylor Swift is at the Link. This is big news. This is the first city where she's appearing three times.
Yeah, Walter, I'm right here in the middle of it all. And I have to tell you, I don't think I wore enough color here. These fans, they are showing up. They are showing out. They started arriving early now. These fans, they know Taylor Swift, and not even the little bit of rain that we saw earlier could keep them away.
You can call them Swift fans, Swifties, whatever you want. One thing for sure, they have taken over Lincoln Financial Field again. And just like Friday night, the fans came dressed for the occasion.
And then I, like, bedazzled it with rhinestones and put them on. I just did as much sparkles as I could.
Inspired by their favorite songs and albums.
In the Anti-Hero music video, she's followed around the house by three ghosts, and I'm one of the three ghosts.
Ashley Michon was at the concert last night and couldn't wait to come back again.
Three of us were here yesterday. Raise your hands. Okay, and then five of us are going today, and then three of us are just hoping for tickets.
Day two of Taylor Swift weekend in Philadelphia marks another enchanted day for Swift fans who battled some rain showers, but even that couldn't keep them away.
It's worth it. It's all worth it.
Yeah. Rain, storming, it didn't matter, right?
Yeah. You get to see Taylor Swift. We actually were thinking about coming back tomorrow night and just going in the parking lot, so we'll see how tired we are.
Yeah, and just as much as it is a party inside, it is one as well. Just like last night, people are coming here who don't even have tickets because they just want to be able to hear and have this experience from the outside as well.
Now, it's not official, but apparently Taylor Swift has a new man named Matty Healy. But Matty Healy isn't like the previous men. Matty is a drummer. In the food chain of musicians, the drummer is at the bottom of the food chain. For Taylor Swift to go out with a drummer is very big news. Let me tell you what Taylor Swift's genius is. Taylor Swift's genius is this. Most pop icons, most people who have hits in their teens or early 20s, the muse visits them about three or four times. They're lucky if they get three or four hits, like Katy Perry. And then that's it. They're done. They change producer, they change labels, they think they know stuff, but Taylor Swift was really smart. Because what Taylor did from day one is produce a Vegas stage act. Her choreography, her sets are so elaborate, so bizarre, so expensive, that they could transfer right now to a permanent home in Vegas. She could be the house act at any location in Las Vegas until she's 60. Because she's always been seen as making a big show, a big production, all the things they like in Las Vegas. Others come out with their guitar. And they look around and, they, you know, they figure this will last forever. It never lasts forever. No pop star ever lasts forever except Paul McCartney. Taylor looked at this and said, how can I last forever? And she realized that the most successful acts wind up in Vegas. But then they have to retool and restart and figure out a way to appeal to people in Vegas. She doesn't. She appeals to people in Vegas right now. That whole act is a Vegas act. That's her genius. But about this boyfriend of hers, Matty Healy, we know nothing about Matty Healy. They all write about Matty Healy as though we know. He's the drummer in a band called 1975. You've never heard of it. You've never heard any of their hits. I know you haven't. No, I'm not going to play any of the hooks from the band. I'm not going to go through all that nonsense. She's teasing us with a relationship with Matty Healy after dumping her perfectly fine boyfriend of 6 years. But this Matty Healy looks like a bad boy. She's never been with a bad boy. She was with Harry Styles. This is her first bad boy. She was with Robert Kennedy Jr. Jr., the great-grandson of Robert Kennedy. She was with a Kennedy, and now she's with Matty Healy, an adult, a British adult with bad teeth who smokes cigarettes in publicity pictures. That's very cutting edge. That's very dangerous. The other thing about Taylor Swift is everybody talks about how if you criticize her, the Swifties will attack you. They'll hit your blog, they'll hit your Twitter accounts, and they'll attack you constantly. All right, why isn't the reverse true? I have just said nice things about Taylor. I've said she is brilliant at knowing how to evolve her act for the rest of her life. Absolute genius. She put on a big stage show from the very first time she appeared. Brilliant. Transitioned into adulthood when she was 22. The act transitioned into adulthood almost immediately, and she can take that stage act right now and appear in Vegas at any venue. Brilliant. All right, Swifties, I'm saying she's brilliant. When are you going to attack my Twitter account, Walter M. Sterling, and say, Walter, thank you. Thank you for promoting Taylor. And when are you going to hit my Facebook, Walter Sterling? When are you going to hit my Facebook and say, we love your show. Thank you for supporting Taylor. It has to go both ways, guys. It has to go both ways. Third Night at the Link in Philadelphia. This is the first time she's been in one city, three nights. The mood, the excitement in Philadelphia is palpable. It's exciting. It's hard to beat this. But this is what Philadelphia really sounds like. Oh, no, where is that? Oh, wait. Hold on. Huh. All right, well, we'll have to get to that in just seconds. It's Mother's Day. What did your mother teach you, and what did your mother do to you that was horrible? Something good your mother taught you, and something horrendous your mother did to you. 888-688-WALT. I will share mine with you in just seconds. 888-688-WALT. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of George Santos.
No, I don't consider the things I've said to be lies. They're what my great-grandfather, Winston Churchill.
Lady Boxers. I'm going to give you a little hint here. There's not quite as much money as being an OnlyFans star or a TikTok star. Astrid Wett, she's the woman's flyweight title holder. And she is a beast, a little teeny beast. And there's another lady boxer named Lady Belzy. These ladies are big on the social media because they're not bad to look at. One is on OnlyFans, one is on TikTok. At the post-fight news conference, punches go out between the ladies. They have to be held apart. These are little gals. The flyweight gals are little, you know, like 100-pound little bullets of punching fury, and they go at it. I will tell you right now, this probably did more for their TikTok account and OnlyFans account than their boxing career. Boxing pay-per-views usually do not feature the ladies as the headliners. So you only have a window. You only have so long of a window to go out and make big bucks off lonely men. On this Mother's Day, nothing seems more apropos than a couple of gals duking it out. It's a family-friendly thing going on there. Women on OnlyFans and TikTok are making huge money. And they don't necessarily even have to be taking off their clothes. Being in athletic wear and working out and allowing people to see jiggling, men will pay for almost anything, let's be honest here. If it's a pretty girl, men will go in. Let's hope Astrid Wet and Little Belzy fight for real, for cash. And then perhaps they can have a pose off on each other's TikTok and OnlyFans accounts. Because I'm in. From the Champagne Room, this is Velo Hool. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
This is the sound of Philadelphia. Are any of those people still alive? I don't think so. Yes, Taylor Swift's at the Link tonight on Mother's Day. And you and I get to spend time and think about our mother, whether she's alive or not. There's something that your mother taught you that you'll never forget, and something your mother did to you you'll never forget, and something wonderful she taught you that you'll never forget. My mother, headline, my mother. I was born in New Jersey, and I had a New Jersey mom. And you may think, well, how could she be different than any other mom? And let me tell you, Jersey moms are different.
Oh, see, it's my fault.
Yes, Jersey moms are different.
Oh, see, it's my fault.
Yes. Here's how Jersey moms work. First of all, I never understood anybody who said, well, you know, women need more power. They need to be more in charge. I grew up in a matriarchy. Every kid around me grew up in a matriarchy. The husbands, the fathers, they're vague memories to me. They're sort of vaguely erased in the swamp of my memory. But the mothers are Technicolor. They're IMAX. These were powerful women. These are powerful women. Because they all tap into somebody in the community who can help them get out of trouble. Every Jersey mom either knows the head rabbi, the Monsignor, the superintendent of the school system, or the single most important person in the life of a New Jersey mother, the produce manager and the butcher at ShopRite.
It's Can-Can. Over 50 years of endless deals. ShopRite's Can-Can sale. You can't miss it.
It should be the official song of the state of New Jersey. Every mother in North Jersey, South Jersey, has a special, magical relationship with ShopRite. When my mother would take me to ShopRite, it was the waters parting. The produce manager would see her and say, oh, Miss Sterling, I have these beautiful eggplants I've put aside for you. And then we'd walk past the butcher, and the butcher would go, I got that special cut of veal that you asked for, Mrs. Sterling. She would walk in, and the heads would bow, the aisles would open up, and there we were in the mecca of New Jersey shopping, the ShopRite. There's nothing like it. But then when there was trouble in a New Jersey home, when there was trouble, the moms would get on the phones. The moms would start talking to each other. And if there was real trouble with one of the kids, somebody got out of line, they'd all look at their husbands and say, sit over there and read the Trentonian. Sit over there in the corner and read the Star Ledger. Don't bother me right now. The husbands had no say. The moms would gather. They'd speak to each other in conference calls. They'd meet at the ShopRite. They'd go to a common place, a coffee shop, and they'd solve the problem. Because each of them knew somebody. They either knew Vinny, who could get you the money, or the Monsignor who'd pray for your soul, or the rabbi who would tell you you were probably wrong. They all knew somebody, and they were very much in charge. Therefore, I was puzzled. I've always been puzzled when people go, well, you know, women should be more in charge or women should have more key roles. No, no, no. In the life that I grew up in New Jersey, the women were 100% in charge and still are. They still are. I promise you. Nothing happens in a New Jersey household unless mom says it's a good idea. When I saw The Sopranos, I'm like, yeah, it's exactly how it is. Tony thinks he has power, but he has absolutely no power.
Carmela, look, a couple of bees. Should be grounded, yeah, but it's not the end of the world.
What? Oh, you know what? I am sick of your bull, both of you. He can go live with you.
Don't get dramatic now, all right?
No, what? Great, good.
Shut up.
I have never been more serious in my life. Oh, see, it's my fault. Oh, see, it's my fault. Oh, see, it's my fault.
New Jersey mothers work in guilt the way others work in clay. They're able to shape your life through a combination of rewards and guilt in a way that you'll never escape. If you're a kid from New Jersey, you will never escape this. Now, they're Midwest moms, and we'll talk about that because I know about KMOX. And I know about KMZZ. We'll get there. But the fact is that a New Jersey mom taught me the following. It was very important. This has saved my butt throughout my life. Every now and then we'd meet somebody, and she'd be vaguely pleasant to them. We'd walk away from them, and then she would say, he's a great big phony. I'm like, what? What? He's a great big phony. Don't believe a word he says. Well, that set up my radar in my head as to who was a great big phony. I knew from my mother's teaching at her knee, next to the Saks bag, I knew what a great big phony was because of what she taught me. The nuances on a person's face, the tone of their voice, the things they said. And always there was one thing about every phony that we ran into. He's a great big phony. There was always one thing. They used too many words. They used extra words. Instead of just saying, hey, how you doing? They'd say, hey, how you doing? You're looking good. Well, that was the phony. Hey, how you doing? How's your sister? I understand she's doing pretty good. That's the phony. When they start asking questions and answering questions to themselves while trying to engage you, that's the phony. This has served me so well in business. When I meet somebody I know in 1 second, if they're a great big phony, that was her greatest gift. The thing that she did that I will never appreciate is the fact that I went to freaking catechism from the age of, what was it, like 5th grade through 8th grade. Every Monday, we would have to go to the Catholic school. I didn't go to Catholic schools. I went to public schools. We'd go to the Catholic school, and I had to sit there for an hour with a nun explaining the catechism to me. I don't think I'll ever forgive my mother for this. To this day, I don't understand why we had to go through this, because she never went to church. My mother never went to church, and worse than that, worse than being a Catholic, she claimed she was Lutheran. Never saw her step a foot in a Lutheran church. She made up all sorts of nonsense. There was all kind of nonsense. But that's the power of New Jersey mom. It's a matriarchy. What did your mother do? What did she teach you that has been the most valuable thing? My phone number, I am live on Sunday night, and I want to talk to you. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. I have a great email account, and every email I get gets answered. WalterMSterling@gmail. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of iCarly.
Guys, always tell girls to calm down, and it never works. It just gets us all whipped up. You see me all whipped up now? It's because you told me to calm down.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
You know, we like to joke about Florida a lot, but when you get past all the punchlines, they really do have one of the top-notch academic systems, doing some cutting-edge research, bringing humanity new innovations and new breakthroughs and making life better. This is not one of those weeks. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Details on Florida Stories.
Would your workplace make a great TV show? I had one that did. Details coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of the mounted cop's horse that drops dead in the back of a bar. How did the cop get his horse out without raising suspicion? That answer is coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Is that smoke you're seeing? You better get out of the Walmart. Details later. People at Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Shucks. You're so nice. All right, for our first Florida Story, let me set a little context here. I have an issue with people who give their kids dumb names because they're the ones who have to bear the burdens of having a dumb name. And when you think, well, the name doesn't really matter. Yeah, it is. It's the first thing anyone knows about you. Aside from like your general appearance, the first thing they learn about you is how serious were your parents about your future when they decided the first decision that was going to be made about your life. And that is your name. And this isn't, some people say it's like, there's a racial angle to this. No, I have this criticism for every facet of American society. White people give their kids dumb names like Apple. Black people give their kids dumb names like Barkevious. Hispanic people give their kids like seven names in a row. And then you can even mix it up where you have like Elon Musk, who's technically a white African American who named his kid the Quadratic Equation. So no, I got smoke for all you people who give your kids bad names. And this is a different one.
After Thursday's West Palm Beach shooting that left one man injured and this man, 22-year-old Leroy Brown III, a convicted felon, behind bars.
All right, it kind of bothers me that the local Florida news affiliate covering the story doesn't make any bad Leroy Brown jokes or puns. That is right up the alley of the cameraman. And since no one was actually murdered here, killed, it's not like you're making fun of a dead person. His parents had to have been aware of the song. The guy's not that old, so 22. He's born in 2001. People having kids in 2001 knew what Bad Leroy Brown was, right? They did that on purpose, didn't they? And did they not hear how it worked out for Leroy Brown the first in the song? Younger people, you'll just have to go Google it. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Part two of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
What'd your mom teach you that's been valuable? And what'd your mom do that wasn't so nice? 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. I am live. That's why you and I can talk. Even though Taylor Swift is in Philadelphia, we can still talk. I do not like automatic deductions to pay bills automatically. I've always been suspicious of it, and I also know for a fact that once you set up auto pay and a payment goes through and you want to dispute it, it is hell to get that money back. But this is the best reason I have ever run into as to why you don't want to set up auto pay.
Remember Adi Bucco? Kid who I went to elementary school with?
Adi! Oh, yeah, I still see his mother. She tells me he calls her every day. What's that?
CD player.
For who? For me?
Yeah.
I don't want it.
Well, all I know is daughters are better at taking care of their mothers than sons.
Yeah, and I bought CDs for a broken record.
888-688-WALT. The thing your mom did that you're really happy she did, and the thing you wish she had never done. I am so grateful to my mother for the fact that she taught me how to spot a great big phony. My Jersey mom taught me exactly how to spot a great big phony. And then she sent me to catechism every Monday for 3 years. I don't like auto pay. I don't like automatic deductions to pay bills. My instincts tell me it's bad, but it's also bad if you want to get the money back. Good luck. If you don't want to have that money out there, if you want to make sure it goes where you want, to get a refund from an auto pay is a nightmare. To get a refund on one of those automatic subscriptions, you know, get the next 2 days free, and then after that, the next 9 years will deduct money every month. Always bad. But this, This is the reason. This is the message I've been looking forward to. And we're going to talk to you, and I are going to talk to Keith Fons very soon, our DoorDash driver in Alaska. Yes, he's still there, and he's still with us. We love Keith. Get this. The body of a retired bookkeeper lay undiscovered in his apartment for 6 years, with his skeletal remains found only after housing officials forced entry to carry out a gas safety check. Robert Alton is believed to have died in 2017 at the age of 70, but his death went unnoticed by both his landlord, which continued to his landlord and his local council, which seemingly failed to act on the mounting tax arrears. His taxes were way in arrears. Finally, they're getting nervous about this. Officials who found Alton's body when they gained entry to the flat in March also discovered a half yard high pile of unopened food with 2017 expiration dates, and a pair of reading glasses placed on a TV guide for May 4th, 2017. Why did nobody find this poor guy before this? Why did nobody find him before this? You know why? Because his rent was on auto pay. His rent was on auto pay. So his rent kept getting paid, which makes me think, how big a bank account did this guy have that the auto pay would keep paying the rent and nobody would notice? I do not like auto pay. I don't believe in it, but I believe in you. Let's talk about your mom. Best thing she did for you. Most annoying, worst thing she did for you. My number is 888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258. Keith Fons, DoorDash driver in Fairbanks, North Pole, Alaska, coming up in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Kate Littlejohn.
I told you we should have done a sting. It would have taken an hour. We'd control all the variables, get Shales negotiating on the wire.
Keith Fons is a DoorDash driver in North Pole, Alaska. And there are a couple reasons that I have Keith on every week. One, we know nobody in Alaska. You don't know anybody in Alaska. But now you and I have a friend in Alaska. Secondly, I have seen his Facebook page, Keith Fons, F-O-N-S. I have seen his Facebook page. And if you were to go to Central Casting and say, I want someone who looks like they live in Alaska, Keith Fons looks like he lives in Alaska. I'm pretty darn sure he always has a rifle with him. Looks like the kind of man who always has a rifle with him. Is that true, Keith?
No comment.
All right, no, so he always has a rifle here. With him. So he always has a rifle with him. But you got to see his Facebook posts because they're hysterical, because he's out of his mind. And those are the kind of people I respect. Keith has two stories for us tonight. One is a couple weeks ago, his son was bullied in a way I have never heard in a public schoolyard. And I want to know the update of that. Sum up what happened and then tell us where it is now. And then the other thing is my 20-year-old the other day is on a college break. She's on summer break and she wants to make some money. And she said, you know, I think I'm going to be a DoorDash driver. And I thought, well, let me ask Keith if he thinks that's a good idea. But first, tell us about your kid, Keith.
Well, it's been a couple of weeks now since he was kicked multiple times, ended up in the ER and got a concussion, and he went and saw his doctor Friday for an update. He's still dealing with headaches, and she says it's still going to be a little bit longer before he recovers from getting a concussion.
Tell us how the school reacted. This is very important. Tell us how the school reacted. That's the story.
Well, originally when it happened, I got to the school within 5 minutes. And, of course, like any other parent, I wanted answers. And they wouldn't give me any answers, proceeded to tell me I need to leave the school grounds. I ended up having to call the cops so that way they can make a report. 2 weeks later, still no response from the school or the school district. The only comment that I've gotten from them is that it's confidential on how they reacted to the young man that attacked my son. And, of course, that made me furious. Like, how can it be confidential when it was my son that got assaulted and ended up in the hospital, but they still won't tell me anything?
Have you gotten a lawyer?
I do, and we are going to go after the school district and the school for allowing this to happen while there's teachers at recess supposed to keep an eye on the kids, and the fact that there's no transparency. You know, they're not transparent at all when it comes to how they treated the situation, the consequences to the young man. He was back in school the next day, so obviously there was no consequences for his actions.
What do you hope to get out of taking legal action against the school? What do you and your lawyer think is going to be the good outcome of this?
Well, the school district here, like a lot in the nation, they have a no-tolerance policy when it comes to bullying and assault.
Right, exactly, right. Go ahead.
So we want them to be held accountable. We need them to admit that they don't uphold their policy, and going forward, they need to be, you know, they need to uphold the no-tolerance policy. If they actually upheld it, this child would have been disciplined. He would have been out of school. And, you know, there's no excuse why a kid can kick somebody in the head 9 times, cause a concussion, but he gets to go back to school the next day.
I can't imagine that happening in any school system I have ever been a part of. That this kid apparently kicked your son 9 times and was able to go back to school the next day. In any school system I've ever been a part of, if somebody kicked anybody 9 times, they'd be expelled. They wouldn't be allowed back in that building. They'd be expelled immediately. I am furious with you, Keith. It's unbelievable. You have to give us updates about the legal situation. Now that I've seen your Facebook page, I know you're more than capable of terrorizing people, and I expect you to do that. You're just terrorizing people. Now, my 20-year-old daughter wants to be a DoorDash driver this summer. What are the things that she needs to know? What advice would you give her? Or would you say forget it?
I definitely wouldn't say forget it. It's definitely good for a side gig, but or full-time. You know, I do this full-time for 2 years now, and you learn every market in the country is different. And as long as you have a vehicle that is well-maintained, good on gas, you can always make money. It's just you have to be picky on the orders you take. You know, like, you want to make sure you're making money because you're spending gas, time, maintenance. And if you're not making money, then you're pretty much meals on wheels. So my advice would be, you know your market, know the area that you're working, because the better you know the area, the less time you look in, you're looking for houses and the more money you make.
What's the hardest part of the job as a DoorDash driver? What's the hardest part of the job?
Well, there's several things, you know, traffic, wait times at merchants, people that don't, you know, have their addresses where you can see it. So you spend a lot of extra time between waiting and traffic and all that. You know, you have to have patience. If you don't have patience, then this job will make you pull your hair out and you'll walk away the first day. You have to have patience.
Now, Keith Fons, DoorDash driver in Fairbanks, Alaska, North Pole, Alaska. You said you have to be able to pick the orders. You have to select the right orders. Can you, as a DoorDash driver on a specific shift, can you turn down orders? How does it work?
Oh, yeah. When it comes to DoorDash, you know, they have different ratings. They have, like, your customer rating, your acceptance rating, your completion rating. And the only one that doesn't matter is your acceptance rate. In our contract, it says you can accept whatever orders you want or decline whatever orders. Now, most dashers, they want a minimum $1 a mile. So if, let's say, you drive 10 miles for an order, well, you wouldn't accept it unless it was $10 or more because, like I said, you have to put time, gas in your gas tank, and we all know gas prices are not low right now. But if you average about $1 an hour, you're definitely making a profit.
How much an hour?
Dollar a mile, sorry.
Oh, an hour, I think. You said a dollar a mile. A dollar an hour. I'm like, this really is a terrible situation. But if you're making a dollar a mile.
Right now I'm in the middle of a 17-hour day. I always do 17 hours on Sunday. And right now, all day long, I've been averaging $32 an hour.
What's your average tip?
Average tip, $5. $5 or $6 is about average tip for every delivery.
And you can keep them?
Oh, yeah. You keep 100% of your tips, plus DoorDash pays you, you know, anywhere from $2 on up per order, plus you get tips. And all your tips you keep.
It would seem to me that the best way to be a DoorDash driver is in a densely populated area.
Correct.
Right, because you're going to have more orders in a densely populated. If you have to drive 5 miles for each order, you're in trouble.
Well, like our town, you know, the furthest I will drive for an order in this town, that you will drive in this town, is 10 miles. So no matter what, you're going to do 10 miles or less per order.
But if you're
in like a major city, it might be a little bit different, but you know, the merchants are probably closer to the homes there, maybe less driving because you may pick up an order from, you know, like if you're in New York, you might pick up an order from a merchant to go a block over to an apartment complex. So,
you know, every
market's different.
Keith Fonz, you're fantastic. I wish you tremendous success with your son. Let us stay up to date on that. I'm Walter Sterling, live on Sunday night. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Would your workplace make a great TV show? I had one that did. Details coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of the mounted cop's horse that drops dead in the back of a bar. How did the cop get his horse out without raising suspicion? That answer is coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Is that smoke you're seeing? You better get out of the Walmart. Details later. People at Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight. And you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. All right, for our next Florida story, this one is in Cantonment, Florida. I've never had one from Cantonment before, so this is their first. And in this story, what we have is, do you know those cement trucks? They have the big barrel on the back of them that is spinning to keep the cement mixed. The cement mixer trucks, you've seen them. Some dude was in the back of one of those. I don't know why. And it was full of cement mix. And someone else, not knowing he was back there, turned it on. And it did not work out too well for our Florida man. ABC3 has the story.
A man was killed in a work accident involving a cement truck in Cantonment. It happened on Highway 95A near Quintet Road at around 4:30 this afternoon. An Escambia County spokesperson says the man was working in a cement mixer when it turned on and he became entangled.
That's what makes it a Florida story, is it's just bizarre. Of all the ways you expect to die, you know, a car wreck, a heart attack, coronavirus, being hit by a meteor, struck by lightning, shark attack, no one. Had being caught in the back of a cement mixer on their bingo card. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
I'm Roddy Bucco. Kid who I went to elementary school with?
Roddy. Oh, yeah, I still see his mother. She tells me he calls her every day. What's that?
CD player.
For who? For me?
Yeah.
I don't want it. No. Well, all I know is daughters are better at taking care of their mothers than sons.
Yeah, and I bought CDs for a broken record.
888-688-WALT. Good evening. This is a giant three-hour network radio show called Sterling on Sunday. Live on a Sunday night, driving across the country on Route 80, up and down the East Coast on 95, avoiding tolls on I-90, the Luge, the 405, the 101. This is Sterling on Sunday. I am with you every Sunday night, and it is a joy. It is a treasure, because where else do you hear KMBZ FM, KMOX AM, WPHT? Where do you find all of those giant radio stations agreeing on one very important fact, that Sterling on Sunday is finally the radio show that does not scream at the Democrats, a radio show that does not yell about politics because we don't care? The most insane radio programming idea ever in history was to talk about politics all the time. Why is it insane? Because there are only two answers. There are only two points of view. How boring is that? And your demography is near death. Why would you sign up for that? It's crazy. Whereas you put on a show like this, a morning show at midnight, 24 hours a day, you will have younger demographics. You will have people who are ambulatory, fathers who are willing to discuss their kids' slime business. That's what we do. We have a good time. We have the best time. Mother's Day.
Remember Artie Bucco? Kid who I went to elementary school with?
Artie!
Mother's Day. The minute you think about your mom, you think about one thing that she taught you that's been really valuable, and then you think about one horrendous thing she did to you. I don't mean abuse. That's a whole different category. But annoying things that your mother did. The best thing my mother did was she taught me how to spot a great big phony. She was also very much in charge of the house. Oh, my father is a great dad, earned a good living, all of that, but he wasn't in charge of anything. It was my mother who decided. She had the first vote, and she had the final vote, and it didn't matter what it was. It was always up to her. And any time I called home in college or later in life, and my father answered the phone, rather than saying, hey, this is what's going on, how are you, Walter, he would start with a weather report about my mother. Well, you know, your mother isn't feeling too good today. Like, what am I supposed to do? And then in the background, I'd hear my mother going, don't tell him that. Why are you telling him that? That's how it went for about 20 years. But my mother was a Jersey mom. And Jersey moms are very powerful because there's a no-nonsense streak in every one of them. I knew many. I'll never forget there was a married couple who my mother and I were concerned about. We were concerned that the husband might be abusive. We were concerned that the husband might hit the wife. I said to my mother, who was sitting there knitting with a Laura Ashley quilted bag full of knitting supplies, and she was sitting with her Lily Pulitzer skirt and her Lily Pulitzer blouse, and she was sitting on a comfy chair, and she was having a casual conversation, and I said to her, do you think there's any chance that he would hit her in this bad married couple situation? Do you think that he would ever hit her? And my mother turned into this other person, this Jersey person, and said, If he ever hit her, he would disappear.
Right, come on, look, a couple of beers. Should be grounded, yeah, but it's not the end of the world.
What? Oh, you know what? I am sick of your both of you. He can go live with you.
Don't get dramatic now, all right?
No, what? Great, good.
Shut up.
I have never been more serious in my life.
888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. I want to know the best thing your mom ever did for you and the most annoying thing your mom ever did for you. I'm live. Let's you and I talk. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. It's a big radio show. Rarely do you get to speak to the entire country. Rarely do you get to share your childhood with the entire country. Think about that. What a gift. Now, I need Sterling snaps. I have posted on Facebook just now what I am looking at and a picture of myself, because why not? I'd like to see what you're looking at right now. Take a snap with your overpriced phone. Take a picture of what you're looking at and email it to me, Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. Walter M. Sterling at Gmail. Every email I get, I will answer. But most importantly, I want to see some pictures of what you're looking at. This helps me tune my show. It helps me make a better show. And then during the week, I will post it on the Walter Sterling Instagram account. I'll put it up on Facebook, Walter Sterling Instagram, and Walter M. Sterling Twitter. Follow me. Click all those buttons. Make magic. And we have a hot new podcast. We have revitalized the podcast, made them better than ever before. Midnight Misfits. Midnight Misfits. That's the podcast. Now, of course, Midnight's misspelled, because otherwise it would fit in, and you and I don't fit in. Now, coming up, we're going to talk to a guy who exposes the fact that the Internal Revenue Service, your friends, are stockpiling guns and ammunition. Why they would do this, I don't know, but we'll find out coming up in just seconds. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Jimmy Failla.
The truth is, it takes balls for a man to get ahead in 2023, and if we're being honest, it takes balls for a woman, too.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to tell a story from the NYPD's Mounted Unit. Now, mounted cops assigned to Midtown Manhattan have a terrific job. They usually work day tours. They provide photo opportunities to tourists in front of New York City's landmarks like the Empire State Building and Madison Square Garden. Everybody loves a cop on a horse, including businesses that benefit from them standing in front of their establishments. Mounted cops attract more people and attention than any inflatable mannequin or sign spinner could muster. Now, one such business was a dive bar on the west side of Manhattan. In the mid-1970s, a mounted cop and his horse would stop by the neighborhood watering hole a couple of times a week. Now, in the back of this old saloon was a small beer garden where the cop would tie up his horse before partaking in a liquid lunch. The landmark bar had large double doors, providing enough width for the horse to walk through. The towering mounted cop would lower his head before entering as the horse strolled through the bar. Now, a few times the horse crapped on the floor, sending drunks into the local OTB to place a wager. It's good luck, one of them would say, while rubbing the betting slip between his fingers. The hard luck bar could have hosted a casting call revival of Eugene O'Neill's classic The Iceman Cometh. So while the mounted cop would sip his gin and tonics at the bar, patrons fed carrots to their four-legged friend out back. For years, the cop and horse show was the best-kept secret in the insular Irish enclave known as Hell's Kitchen. Now, you gotta remember, during this time, a gang of thugs known as the Westies terrorized the neighborhood, shaking down local businesses for protection money. No one dare called internal affairs on Will Burnett, whose daily presence kept the gang at bay. So one summer afternoon, the horse unexpectedly dropped dead in the garden, causing panic inside the bar. Now, the mounted cop had a major problem on his hands. How would he explain what his horse was doing in back of the bar? The NYPD prohibits its members from consuming alcohol on duty. The bartender called his brother, who happened to own a local towing company. Several minutes later, a banged-up tow truck arrived to the front of the bar. The tow truck backed up to the front door while a steel cable was pulled through the bar and out to the garden. The tow truck driver attached the hook to the horse's bridle and slowly pulled the horse through the bar. While the 2,000-pound animal slowly moved across the hardwood floor, a few patrons began singing Danny Boy. The bartender raised his glass with tears in his eyes, saying goodbye to an old friend for the last time. When the horse reached the sidewalk, the bereaved mounted cop sprang into action. He got on his radio and began calling for help. The tow truck driver knew better than to hang around and took off the minute he unhooked the cable.
When the cavalry arrived, the mounted cop gave an Academy Award-winning performance to his supervisor, explaining how his beloved horse had suddenly dropped dead in front of the bar. A handful of sobbing drunks backed up his story. A few weeks later, a memorial service was held where the neighborhood barflies paid respects to a fallen comrade. So be sure to check out my new book, NYPD Law and Disorder.
Remember Artie Bucco? Kid who I went to elementary school with?
Artie! Oh, yeah, I still see his mother. She tells me he calls her every day. What's that?
CD player.
For who? For me?
Yeah.
I don't want it. No. Well, all I know is daughters are better at taking care of their mothers than sons.
Yeah, I bought CDs for a broken record.
Jersey moms. I was raised by a Jersey mom. They don't waste time. They let you know exactly what they think. The worst thing to happen to me in my life was after I became like a almost grown up, because that will never actually happen. I started to travel for business. Now, I'd spent my first 18 years in Jersey, and then I went to Syracuse University, which is like Jersey. When Syracuse is in session, Long Island and New Jersey rise 3 inches in the water. That was my whole worldview. Never traveled to Europe. We never got on an airplane. You know, we were, that wasn't it. Maybe a 2-hour ride to the Poconos. That was it. When I started to travel for my work as a consultant or a network executive, a very powerful network executive, I started going to lunches in places like San Francisco and San Diego, and I'd be sitting there at lunch. We'd have a great time, a terrific conversation. I felt we had all bonded. And then 1, 2, 3 months later, through my boss or somebody at ABC or NBC would say, "Well, you know, that lunch you had, that didn't go very well." "What do you mean it didn't go well? Everybody had a good time. We had a good conversation." "Well, they weren't really comfortable with you." That would have never happened in the state of New Jersey. The minute somebody meets you or goes to lunch with you or dinner, immediately you know if that person likes you or doesn't like you. It saves time. There's none of this mushing around of pretending to be nice or saying things like "bless your heart" or "no worries," like they say in the Midwest. Oh, there's no worries. Midwest moms.
Hey guys, today I'm sharing my gift guide for the Midwest mom in your life. All available at Fleet Farm, of course. Every Midwest mom could use a Yeti for tea, coffee, spiked coffee. No judgment. Those soccer games are long. Now, your Midwest mom isn't a regular mom. She's a cool mom. So get her some Carhartt. It's what the cool kids are wearing. So your Midwest mom's into cooking. How lucky are you? Show her some gratitude with something like an Instant Pot. Meal making will be so quick and easy, she won't even ask you to help. You're welcome. For the Midwest mom into fitness, get her some workout gear. Next time you raise her blood pressure, probably yet today, she'll take it out on her mat instead of you. You can never go wrong getting your Midwest mom flowers, but warning, you may get roped into helping her plant them. Speaking from experience. And for the outdoorsy Midwest mom, don't forget to hook her up with some fishing gear. See what I did there?
We have a fantastic website. It's called Walter Sterling Show. And on it, you can learn everything you want to know about this show, everything you want to know about Florida stories. You get the latest podcast. You get to leave notes on the blog. This is an actual website created by Lee Harris and James Copeland, professionals. I had nothing to do with it. That's why it's so good. 27 past the hour, Sterling on Sunday, a live radio show, 3 hours every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific. I always have trouble with that. Why do I always have trouble with that? Don't know. Coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to talk to a gentleman who's going to reveal that the IRS is stockpiling weapons, ammunition, guns, and he will reveal why that's so. And then at midnight or 9 p.m. Pacific time, you and I are going to talk to Dave, a man who actually believes there was a time in his life when he could control the appearance of UFOs with his mind, that he could convince them to move around with his mind. You're not going to find that anyplace else. Sterling Snaps, I want you to take a picture of what you're looking at right now. Send it to me, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. There's Judy Pohl. and Neil Paul, our very biggest fans, who recently got married. They got married on New Year's Eve, and now they're touring the East Coast, finding giant sandwiches at delicatessens up and down the East Coast, the finest delicatessens in the world. You might want to look at his Facebook page, too. You've never seen sandwiches like this. You've never seen consumption like this, or a better fan, or a better friend. And there's Karen with the cats. Karen, welcome. And Dee Wells, Rosemary Furlong, the Datz family, who we don't hear from anymore, but I don't know why. I love my Midnight Misfits. The thing about all the Midnight Misfits is that you and I don't fit in. We don't get along. We are introverts. And at 12:15 tonight, a quarter past the next hour, we're going to hear a fascinating study about introverts, who we are, why we are, where we get our energy, and how our energy dissipates, which is entirely different than your entire sales department. Your entire sales department is dedicated to going to sports games and speaking very loud. But not you and me, buddy, not you and me. All right, welcome. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Mayor Frank Rizzo.
Show you what kind of a man you are. You're less than a man. Okay? You're a crumb creep.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Would your workplace make a great TV show? I had one that did. Details coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Is that smoke you're seeing? You better get out of the Walmart. Details later. People at Walmart, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. For our next Florida story, we're going down to Miami, where they just received a star. Do you know the name Ja Morant? If you're a basketball fan, you definitely know him. He's a player for the Memphis Grizzlies, up-and-coming team. He was Rookie of the Year a couple years ago. He's already been in the All-Stars twice, the All-Star game twice. But he's been in trouble. Look, this isn't the first time he's been in trouble this season. You know, he wasn't an altar boy his entire life, and now all of a sudden he fell off the tracks. But it does seem to have escalated lately, and the most recent incident that brought him to the mainstream attention of people like myself, who's just a casual basketball fan, is he got in trouble after a basketball game. He's in a Denver nightclub. It's like 3:19 in the morning when he starts a live stream video. It was on Instagram. He was just live streaming some video of him in a Denver nightclub. And in a couple of frames of video, you can see a handgun in his left hand. Now, the NBA doesn't like you flashing handguns around, but it's all the way illegal to be sneaking handguns into places that serve alcohol. And so Ja Morant is, promising guy, killer player, and, you know, But this is a really, really dumb move, Ja. So they're going to get him some help. He's asked for some help. He's actually reached out and said, listen, you know, I'm 23 years old and I have a lot of pressure. I have a lot of stress. My life has been turned upside down over the last 4 or 5 years and I'm just having trouble handling it all. Can you give me some help? I thought that was a very mature thing to do. I like the Grizzlies' response, the NBA team for which he plays. They said, sure, we can get you some help. We're going to go get you one of the best facilities money can buy. It just happens to be in Miami, Florida. Really? Miami, Florida? You have a guy here that has trouble with God knows what, whether it's a substance abuse issue or a gun issue or invasive species issues. I mean, Florida is not known for solving many people's problems, and they're not known for the place where you go if you're having legal issues and you just need to calm your life down. If you just need to simplify things out and de-stress, and, you know, you had a guy here that was waving a gun around and you want him to become like a more calm, civilized, you know, socially acceptable person. Florida? Really? That's where you're sending him? No. You need to send him to, like, Vermont. You need to send them to like North Dakota. You know, that these sound like calm, sort of low dopamine, stress-free places. Sending him to the cocaine capital of planet Earth may backfire. Just saying. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's fourth installment of Florida Stories is still coming up. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and catch past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
You and I are talking about Mother's Day, the best thing your mother ever did for you, the worst thing your mother ever did to you. My number is 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Linda, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Oh, thank you, Walter, for taking my call. The best thing my mother did was advise to keep an open mind about things because there's always new information and research being done about things. I don't have something I remember as the worst thing because she died when I was 15. But then I want to put a shout out, thank God, for fathers who are there for their daughters too. And thank you for taking my call, Walter.
All right, Linda, thank you very much for calling Sterling on Sunday, 888-688-9258. It's a funny thing about Mother's Day. On Mother's Day, fathers get to take care of the kids so mom can have the day to herself. And on Father's Day, dads get to take care of the kids so they can have extra bonding time. Either way, in the matriarchy in which we live, dads always come up with extra work, no matter what. But let me tell you, the fact is that a father who is there is a father who has won. It doesn't matter what a guy does for a living. It doesn't matter how much money he's got or what car he drives. It matters that he shows up and he's available to his children. And one of the things I've noticed in playgrounds, because I took the middle kid to the playground a lot, I took the baby to a playground a lot, the 11-year-old, and the thing I've always noticed is that in the playground, moms are talking to other moms, and moms are on their iPhone. I have never seen a father on his iPhone. I have never seen a father talking to other dads without laser focus on that child. The dads never take their eyes off the child, whereas the moms are like looking around, you know, I got to do this. Who is she talking to? I don't know where my kid is. I have seen this over and over and over again. It's amazing to me. Now, last week, James Parker was so gracious to do Sterling on Sunday. And I will tell you why I wasn't here last week. It wasn't because I needed a week off. It wasn't because I'm lazy. Do you know, the first 8 years of this show, I never took one Sunday off. Not Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, I never took one Sunday off when the show first started. And then after that, I'd take like three a year, You're on once a week. I really don't have a big excuse for not being there. But last week I did. Here was my big excuse. Well, let's listen to a doctor.
The two things coexist in the same patient, so you can see the fast heart rates at times and the slow heart rate at times. And the problem is obvious that you cannot control the fast heart rates without risking slowing the slow bits even more and thereby causing the patient symptoms like falls, etc. The solution in this kind of situation then is to say, well, why don't we put a pacemaker in? Because all that a pacemaker does is it sits there and it stops the heart going too slowly. So you put a pacemaker in to stop the heart going too slowly, and then you give the patient medications to stop the fast bits going too fast.
It doesn't matter how old a person is. There are people in their teens who have a condition known as afibrillation. Cardiac afibrillation, where your heart beats wildly fast and wildly low and slow at random times, no cause and effect. Not caused by stress, it's not caused by weather, it just happens. And I've had AFib for about 6 years. Random times my heart would race, random times it would slow down, and I kind of knew what it is. It doesn't hurt, it's not like a heart attack, it's just an ache. Your body aches, and you hope it stops. And there are a lot of old wives' tales about how to make it stop, from magnesium to potassium to drink more water, but they really don't know. They don't have a clue. But last Saturday, I'm sitting in the car with the 17-year-old, and I have an AFib attack, and I'm sitting there, but then I had something I had never had before. I felt like passing out. I felt like passing out. That had never happened before. And I had that sensation about 10 times in an hour, that if I stood up, I'd pass out. And I said to the 17-year-old, let's go to the ER. Now, I had a relationship with a cardiologist in this particular hospital, which is why I was comfortable saying, let's go to the ER. I was in the ER for about, 8 or 9 hours, and every time I tried to sit up, maybe to go to the bathroom, I felt like I was going to pass out every single time. Then they checked me into a single room. I'm never going to stay in the hospital with 10 other people in the room or one other person in the room. So these are private rooms. Doesn't cost more. It's one of those hospitals that only has private rooms. Thank God. And now they put all these monitors on me and they're all like, you know, paying attention. But it's Saturday and then it goes into Sunday. And the weird thing is on Sunday, they had taken me off all my blood pressure medicine and all the medications to manage AFib. They had taken me off them, and I didn't know why. On Monday morning, I wake up, and the nurse says, well, you can't eat anything today. I said, what do you mean I can't have anything? Can't have anything to drink or eat. They're going to do a procedure. I'm like, why is a nurse, rather than a doctor, telling me that they're going to do a procedure? And what procedure? One of the ways they deal with AFib is they do an ablation. They poke at the heart, burn it a little on the muscle that they think is causing the problem, and that supposedly stops it. But I said, so what are they going to do, an ablation? No, they're going to put in a pacemaker. What? What? And then the doctor shows up. He says, I'm going to show you why we're going to put in a pacemaker. I said, well, if my heart was going crazy, it's because you took me off all my blood pressure medicine. We had to take you off the blood pressure medicine because it was making your heart beat too slowly. And, oh, gee, here for 7 seconds, you flatlined. And I said, well, maybe, you know, I turned off and on the monitor because it's a little portable thing on your bed. Maybe I was playing with the monitor. No, this is a flatline. Well, on Monday afternoon, they put in a pacemaker. And remember, 30-year-olds get them, 20-year-olds get them. People of all ages get them. It's not a demographic issue. It has to do with how your heart's working or not. Didn't hurt. No problem. In fact, it was fantastic because I got morphine. I got freaking morphine whenever I wanted it. Oh, my gosh. And then on Tuesday, they sent me home. And I felt off and on during the week, but mostly good. And today I felt fantastic. The beats per minute are normal. I don't go into AFib. My blood pressure is boring. It's really boring. I am grateful for the fact that I got there on time. I am grateful to my family for being so supportive. And I want to thank Dr. William Wolf of University Hospital in Cleveland, Ohio, and Dr. Thal, who did the procedure, the ablation insertion pacebook thing, for doing such a professional job. But I'm fine. I feel great. But that's why I wasn't here last week. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Zahi Hawass.
Don't talk to me. Please, go away from me.
It's one of the most beautiful cities in America. It's Columbia, South Carolina, the home of many. A wonderful Walmart, plus several really cool barbecue joints. We had the story not that long ago about someone setting fire, destroying $500,000 worth of merch at the Walmart. Generally, you go to Walmart and there's a, you know, no secret here. You go in quickly, you find the items you're going to get, and you get out of Dodge. But realizing anyone's allowed there, anything can happen. Well, apparently one feller, Lawrence Blocker, became frustrated with his Walmart experience. Instead of just leaving like most people, Lawrence set a fire, been arrested for second-degree arson. I don't even know why he hasn't been arrested for a bunch of attempted murder counts, but modern prosecution seems to be a little bit lax, even in a place like Columbia. Lawrence was upset on March 11th, around 10:15 in the morning. He was upset early. Set the store on fire, and the fire department came in. They got all the folks out safely. Something for all of us to keep in mind. When you go into Walmart, it's not necessarily guaranteed to be a safe experience. keep your eyes open. Keep your antennas up. But thank God, Lawrence Blocker is off the streets, and hopefully for a very long time. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool for Sterling at Night.
888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. It's always very exciting to be with you. And remember, this weekend is big Taylor Swift weekend in Philadelphia. She appeared in that city for three nights in a row. And I don't think she's appeared anyplace else for three nights in a row. All right, we're talking about Mother's Day. And the best thing your mother ever did for you, or the most annoying thing your mother ever did. But mothers in the past 2 years have had the worst possible challenge.
A lot of anxiety. I had a lot of anxiety because it was getting the kids to sit down at home and do schoolwork. And in their mind, they're like, okay, we do our homework at home, and that's only for a certain time, but yeah. You want me to do school? But so far, I'm good, right? I'm a good teacher, right? Do you like
me? Aiden, you can be serious. Yeah. How is mommy with teaching?
How am I with teaching you? Am I good?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm good?
All right, now here's the same story in Spanish.
תקשיבו, זה לא עסק. תקשיבו, זה לא עסק. הלמדה מרחוק הזה. באמת, זה פשוט לא, זה בלתי אפשרי. זה לא נורמלי. מהבוקר, אנחנו רק ביום השני, מיליוני הודעות בוואטסאפ, יש לי ארבעה ילדים שיהיו בריאים, תדמיינו כמה וואטסאפים, כמה מורות לכל ילד, כמה מקצועות לכל ילד, יש לי רק שני מחשבים בבית, הם רבים מהבוקר על המחשבים, אחד המורים של הבת שלי חי בסרט שהיא בשמונה בבוקר תשב לראות אותו על המסך, היא בשמונה בבוקר רק הופכת צד במיטה, מה נראה לכם?
The issue is that she has three children and only two computers at home. How is she supposed to do that? She's not a teacher. She wasn't trained to be a teacher. She doesn't know how to do that. And the kids don't respond to her as a teacher. They respond to her as a mother, and therefore they get away with everything. The toughest thing about homeschooling during the so-called pandemic was the fact that they didn't think about the fact that the kids can turn off the camera. There's a teacher, 30 little squares in front of her on Zoom, three-quarters of them turned off. Three-quarters of them with the cat going by, the dog going by, people cleaning, the vacuums going in the background. Disaster. Plus the fact that teachers never learned how to teach on Zoom. Some of them may have gotten it. Some of them may have experienced something positive from it. But most of them didn't have a clue, and it wasn't fair to them. But it was mostly not fair to the moms, because the moms were expected to start school at 8 or 8:30 like a normal thing, to get out of bed, to make breakfast for themselves, and then to make sure the kid was on Zoom. There is no way that I was going to be able to keep my 11-year-old on Zoom for more than 10 minutes a day. She hated it. The tragedy is I had a sophomore in high school, beautiful kid, Meredith, the one who had the accident. She's recovering slowly. And Meredith was a straight-A student. She was digging in. She was going to get straight A's in order to get into the college that she wanted to. And then the pandemic hit, and they were teaching on Zoom. Processing problem. She could not learn a darn thing on that computer. She could not learn anything on Zoom. It was a disaster. Now she's going to graduate thanks to the good graces of her teachers and really not much more. Welcome, live radio show, Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was he?
Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Would your workplace make a great TV show? I had one that did. Details coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free 888-688-WALT.
Am I supposed to talk now? Is this my turn to talk? Welcome, Midnight Misfits. You and I are introverts. You and I are introverts, and that means we get our energy by being alone. And There's a fantastic explanation for this coming up for you in just 12 minutes. Right now, Dave, our UFO expert, Dave, our extraterrestrial expert. Welcome, Dave. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Before we miss the opportunity, I want you to start with the plug. Please share with us your website, the name of your show, your podcast. Give us the whole shebang, and then I want to hear your news.
All right. Well, it's spacedoutradio.com is my website. The show is Spaced Out Radio, and we talk about all things weird and strange. We can be downloaded anywhere on any major platform.
And, Dave, what is your news this week? What updates do you have for us?
Well, I know you want to talk haunted dolls, so I dug up a couple of stories for you that I think you're going to be very interested in.
It's your time. Shoot, I want to hear about haunted dolls. I live for it.
Well, you know what? You look at all these dolls that are out there and people collecting dolls over the years, which were supposed to be, way back in the day, storage units for the souls of young people who died. Well, out in Florida, there is a doll in a museum called Robert the Doll. He was found in a house way back in the early 1900s by a little boy, and this little boy kept on getting in trouble, and he kept telling his parents, it wasn't me, it was Robert who did this. Now, Robert looks like a doll that's very puck-faced. It is like a cork type of material on his face. He's dressed up in a little sailor suit, and this boy refused to take blame for Robert's mishandlings. The parents finally got rid of the doll, and now he is in a museum in Florida where the curse says that if you go down into that museum and you take a picture of Robert without Robert's permission, Robert will bring hell down on your life. People who have not asked permission for his photograph have got in car accidents, lost jobs, come down with diseases. And then they write letters of apology to Robert saying, I'm sorry that I did not ask your permission for the photograph, and their life seems to change for the better after that.
Dave Scott, where is this doll? Where exactly in Florida is it? Do you know?
I believe it's down in the Tampa Bay area, is hidden in a museum. He's in a curio cabinet that people can see. Here's an interesting fact. Robert was all alone in his curio cabinet, and the cleaners during the night went and checked on him a few years ago, and he was everything safe and sound. But when the staff got there in the morning, they noticed that Robert's door was unlocked. And when they went and checked the tapes, they realized that Robert now had a pet stuffed lion sitting in his curio cabinet with him. To this day, they still don't know how he got out and how the doll got in there.
Dave Scott, tell us the website again.
Spacedoutradio.com.
Dave Scott, I look forward to your contributions every week. You're a terrific broadcaster. You're out of your freaking mind, and that's exactly what we need. Thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday. All right, you, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. You and I are talking about the best thing Mom ever did for you and the worst thing Mom ever did for you.
Yeah, she gets her ballet shoes, she sells them, and she takes the money to Newark. And she buys amphetamines.
And if you are from New Jersey, the worst thing you can do is do anything in Newark. I grew up in Maplewood. One border of Maplewood borders Newark. This was never discussed. For years, it was never discussed. And then one night, the denizens of Maplewood, New Jersey, put up a concrete barricade at the end of that street that borders Newark. A concrete barricade. It took 20 years for the New Jersey State Legislature to have that taken down. That is the relationship of all of the suburbs in North Jersey with Newark. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Welcome. This is a kind of radio show you dream of because I celebrate the fact that you and I do not fit in. We are not normal. We are misfits. We are introverts. And the very nature of being an introvert makes it very difficult for us to get along with the sales department. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of William Shatner.
Follower bound to a bridge by a fountain, the rocking horse people eat marshmallow pies.
What a great night to drive across our great country on I-80, I-4 in Florida. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. This is a live radio show. I get to be with you once a week. They're terrified of the possibility of being with you more than once a week because I might screw everything up, because I don't fit in. This show doesn't fit in with all of the people screaming at the Democrats. You don't need me to scream at the Democrats. There are professionals to do that. They're professionals. I'm a professional at sharing about, you know, your life and mine. We get to talk about it. That's why I do this show. I want to congratulate one of the greatest broadcasters I have ever known. And I want to congratulate Sean Compton, who is Nexstar's Media Group President of Networks. Sean Compton, because he did the smartest thing in his career. What Sean has done is he has hired Lee Harris, one of the most recognizable news anchors on 1010 Winds in New York. He'll be joining the network as Director of Integrated Operations. In his newly created role, Harris will be responsible for the development and distribution of News Nation's audio content based on News Nation's New York newsroom. Mr. Harris will also assist in the news writing and the gathering of News Nation's specials. He will also have a great deal of responsibility for WGN in Chicago. It's a big job. Now, let me put this in perspective. Lee Harris quit a job after being at the radio station in Morning Drive at 1010 Winds Morning Drive for 30 years. And he looked at the News Nation potential and the possibility at Nexstar and listened to Sean Compton, a brilliant broadcaster. He listened to Sean Compton and said, you know, this is the right thing for me. Now, I happen to know Lee, and I know that those conversations went on for a while. And Lee's tough. He's like a tough guy, and he had to be convinced. So congratulations, Lee Harris, for your new job. Congratulations, Sean Compton, for being so smart to hire Lee Harris, who's not only been successful in New York, where he's going to be his base of operations, but he was a very successful newsman in Chicago. I congratulate you. I congratulate you both. What a smart thing to do. Now, you and I are introverts, and it turns out introverts get their energy in a very different way than extroverts.
Go to a party with me, and you will see me standing in corners or lingering by the... And when there's a barbecue, I'm always the chef, because then I don't have to talk to anybody, right? But if you notice, I've learned to leverage what I have. So it makes me a much better public speaker to be an introvert because I don't like holding court. It freaks me out. But I like talking to individuals. So you'll notice when I speak, I talk to you, and then I talk to you, and then I talk to you, and I give everybody a whole idea or a whole thought, which actually what I learned helps me actually connect with an audience much better. But it's because I'm an introvert.
Yes, I am also in love with public speaking. I can't say how much they love me, but I love to do public speaking. But it isn't because I get to talk to you one-on-one. It's because 99% of the time when I'm on a stage, there are stage lights on me and I can't see you. It's as though I'm speaking to you one-on-one. Now, the great thing about being on the radio is I'm in the laundry room. No, really, I'm in the laundry room. There's nobody else here. They're all asleep upstairs. But I'm on the radio. I'm coming out of your speaker 14 inches away from your ear at the 18-wheeler driving along the highway. I love this. This is the best part of the day. This is the best part of the day because you and I get to be alone. We get to really focus on what we want to listen to, what we want to think. We're alone. But it seems like I'm doing something social. You know, I'm on the air. I must be doing something social. Let me tell you. Everybody on the radio, 99% of the time when you're listening to somebody on the radio, they are not only alone in the studio, they're alone in the building. And all of them are incredibly lousy at normal social interaction. Very few people on the radio are any good at a dinner, very good at your barbecue. We hide in corners. That's what we do. But when we get a microphone in front of us, oh my gosh, then they're extroverts. But we're not extroverts. Introverts wake up in the morning with a pile of coins in front of them for social interaction. And every time you and I run into somebody else, we're sitting near somebody else, we're talking to someone else, we give away a coin. By the end of the day, we have nothing left. Extroverts wake up with no coins. And every time they meet somebody, talk to somebody, make a sales pitch to somebody, they gain energy. That's not the way it works for us. We get no energy from talking to other people. Now, when I get off the air tonight, I will have a lot of energy. Why? Because for 3 hours I talked alone. There was nobody here. And if you and I spoke, it was on the phone. Totally safe. I do want to see pictures of what you're looking at. Would you do that for me? Pick up your phone. I've put up a picture of what I'm looking up on Facebook, Walter M. Sterling at Facebook. I put pictures up there. I want to see what you're looking at. Take a picture with your overpriced phone and email it to me, WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Send me a Sterling snap. I want to see it. And then during the week on Instagram and Facebook, I will post the Sterling snaps. The most spectacular ones I've gotten recently have been from Fairbanks, Alaska, where several of you sent me magnificent photos of the Northern Lights, and I put them on Facebook. In fact, it's my masthead photo is of the Northern Lights silhouetted against a dump truck in Alaska. It is so beautiful, you can't believe it. Go look at this. I love these pictures. For years, we were on the air in Chicago on WLS, and every week, Chicago police officers would send me pictures from their patrol cars of things they saw on the rounds, and it was fantastic. I love being in cop cars. I enjoy spending time with you. But it's Mother's Day. Now, the thing about moms is they have a lot of anger.
Whenever you feel that intense anger, ask yourself, what need is not being met? Okay, anger is usually a sign that there's an unmet need. So maybe you're feeling like you don't have enough support, you don't have help, you're not getting enough rest, right? Your basic needs aren't being met.
There you go. So what are your basic needs that aren't being met? I know. All right, let's see, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT, and you are on Sterling on Sunday. Hi. Barry, hi.
Yeah, it's me, okay. I'd like to say that I bought a movie on DVD, and it says on the DVD box, it says that it's a midnight movie. Which means it's a weird movie.
How weird is it, Barry?
Yeah, it's pretty weird. The movie's called The Thing with Two Heads, and it's about this white guy. He was dying of something, so in order to save his life, they put his head on this other guy's body. And the other guy is a black guy.
Thank you for calling, Barry. I don't know why more doctors haven't thought of that. Somebody's dying. You put their head on a different body. Why haven't more doctors thought of that? There was a while, like 20 years ago, there apparently was experimentation in head transplants. I think that was shut down pretty fast. That's my impression. I think that was shut down. They didn't pursue that, but it's Mother's Day.
Yeah, she gets her ballet shoes. She sells them, and she takes the money to Newark, and she buys amphetamines.
Tony from Pittsburgh, welcome to Sterling on Sunday, listening on KDKA for a whole hour. Welcome, Tony.
Yeah, they really give us a great deal with your show. But, hey, an hour is better than none, right?
Maybe.
Maybe. Okay. Mm. Well, happy Mother's Day. I celebrate all year. I assume you do as well.
You celebrate what? Your mother?
Mother's Day.
Yeah. So what?
I celebrate the fact that I'm a mother all year round.
Yeah. Now, what's the best thing your mother ever did for you?
Well, the best thing she ever did with me, honestly, her and my dad taught me to be independent and strong so that I could survive without them. And unfortunately, they're not here. But fortunately, you know, I have the wherewithal to get by without them. The worst thing my mother ever did for me is not teach me how to cook, because she was a fantastic cook and I'm a lousy cook. And she should have hammered me to teach me some of her recipes and some of her magic. And I wasn't interested, but she didn't hammer me about it, you know?
My mother, like yours, was a great cook. I'm a lousy cook. And I actually asked my mother some things, but it was really interesting about that. My mother was a great cook, but she had no ego attached to it. It was like this was her job. She was going to do it extremely well. She did it extremely well, but she never would talk about it. It's just something she had to do. She wouldn't enter right. any contest. When she passed away, there wasn't a pile of secret recipes. I remember her going through the Betty Crocker cookbooks, and she would always add or adjust ingredients based to her own sensibilities, taste, or what she thought would improve it, but she never shared those things with us. And the thing I regret deeply is that she never taught me how to make her lasagna. And to this day, I have never had better.
Oh my goodness, that's what my mother made so deliciously.
Did she teach you? Did she teach you how to do it? Did she teach you how to do it?
No. One more thing. Did you ever have beef stew with Bisquick dumplings on top?
Well, no, we're not from the Midwest. I did not, but I'm aware of that elegant dish. I wish that we had. No, my mother was more of a London broil lasagna kind of cook.
Yeah, my mother made that Bisquick dumpling was beef stew, and I've never had anything like it before or since.
A good mother is magic, and so are you. Thanks for being a friend to the show. I appreciate your calls. 888-688-WALT. Mother's Day, best thing your mother ever did for you, worst thing your mother ever did for you. It's fantastic, the memories that we have. And unless it was a very horrible experience, and I hope that was not your case.
If you drink apple cider vinegar, they have it at ShopRite with the mother in it.
Every mother in North Jersey, the epicenter of their life, and in South Jersey, the epicenter of their life, the community experience of their life was ShopRite. Because at ShopRite is where they derived a great deal of their power based on their relationship with the produce manager and the butcher. The butcher and the produce manager were the de facto people controlling my home at ShopRite. 888-688-WALT. Email WalterMSterling@gmail.com. Send me a picture of what you're looking at right now. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Will Ferrell.
I'm listening to what you're asking me, and if you're not listening to my answers, let's just call it a day.
888-688-WALT. 888-688-9258. Jim in Kansas City, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Walter?
Jim?
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, well, the best thing my mom ever did for me was to loan me some money so I could go to a little school and get a license, and it's a great license.
So, what's the license?
Class A CDL, and I have everything. Every endorsement and no restriction. So, I mean, it's a golden ticket.
What's the license again? I didn't understand that.
Class A CDL, tractor trailer operator.
Yes, that's a golden ticket. You can always work. You'll always have work. Are you a driver now?
Yeah.
Are you in the cab right now? Are you driving right now?
Oh, no. I would never talk while I'm... that's against... Yeah. But, hey, something else I wanted to bring up. About wireless service, internet service, telephone service.
Yeah.
Going all the way back to the mid-90s when I first became familiar with the internet, it went from, like, bits to bytes to kilobytes to megabytes to terabytes. And no matter how many bytes you get and how much you pay, I don't ever remember the service ever being very much slower or faster. I mean, with as many upgrades as they've had, when you click on something for just like a website, it should be like turning on a light bulb, and still it's the same slow, you know, the twirling windmill thing you get in the middle of it. I just wanted to kind of complain about that.
Well,
and thanks for listening.
You're absolutely right. And I have noticed in the past month that it's worse. In the past month, it is slower and slower, and I finally called the internet company and yelled at them. And that takes like an hour of my life to be on hold,
right,
and then to get out of customer service and get to a technician. It's it is worse all the time. Now, probably that's because every day thousands and thousands more people sign up for it than there was 5 years ago. It's probably like a little race between them upgrading and the amount of demand there is. But it's not any better. And I thought so, too. I thought, gee, you know, when we get to Wi-Fi and we start getting up to speeds of 500 bits per second, I'd hit a website and it would just go on. But it's just as practically as slow as it was with a 300
exactly.
modem, right?
Yeah.
Thanks for your call, Jim. I appreciate it. Thanks for calling 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. Oh, my gosh, we have another Florida story.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. For our next Florida story, we're going to Broward County. And what we have here is a couple of friends, and I'm doing air quotes with friends, because what you see in the video is a woman that is on the hood of a car in what looks to be a mall parking lot, and the car's going ridiculously fast. I mean, like 20 miles an hour. It stops, and the woman on the hood slides off the front to the side, and the woman keeps going and then changes her mind, turns around, and then runs over her.
Oh, my God, let me move my car. It's too early for all of that.
This cell phone video at the center of an investigation for attempted murder. It captures the moment this woman, seen on the hood of a car, falls to the ground. The driver is then seen turning around and running her over again before she drives off.
I think the news really did a poor job explaining what caused the argument to begin with, but I don't really think it matters on the other hand, because out of all the problems you have on earth, and none of them is the solution to run over your childhood friend. I can't imagine where that is the correct answer on any Trivial Pursuit card. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Our last Florida story, we're going to Pinellas County in Tarpon Springs here. What we have is a Florida plastic surgeon, and he got in trouble, got sued, didn't do so well with the lawsuit, got mad at his lawyer, and instead of countersuing his lawyer or trying to raise charges or getting his money back or whatever, looks like you may have just killed him.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
This concludes today's episodes of Florida Stories. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Work or formerly worked at a place that would have made a great TV show? Hi, I'm Brad. Well, I certainly did on one of my forced dismissals from a station when the format changed. I took a job as a casual clerk at the U.S. Post Office. Since casuals are temporary hires, they don't qualify for union membership, and they get stuck with all the slop jobs the union people don't touch. Mine was no different. I mostly brought in mail from the trucks and from the sorting machines on the other side of the building. The mail would be in plastic trays, and I would distribute them to carriers who would then sort it by address for delivery. Now, this post office was downtown, so we got a lot of business mail. A lot. So we were hopping from 3 a.m. until time for the carriers to leave at 9. Mail carriers are a unique breed, and the shouted conversations in that cavernous room were an education all in themselves. But mostly it was about college basketball. One side would argue for the strength of the SEC, while the other side would argue for schools in the Big East or the Big Ten. The arguments got so loud one day, the supervisor finally had to yell at everybody to knock it off. Then there was the carrier named Dutch, who everyone avoided like the plague. He was nasty, mean, hated his job. He couldn't wait to retire. Word was that he was so obnoxious at home that his wife made him live in the basement. Don't know if that's true, but it was sure a great story. My 6 months at the post office was hard, and I was happy when I could get back to a radio station, but it occurred to me that these guys in this setting would make a great TV show, sort of along the lines of Barney Miller, but with postal workers. How about your job? Would it make a great TV show? Tell me about it. I'll open the phones after the news and the weather. Brought to you by Falstaff. Go, go, go for Falstaff. That's my beer.
It's the old pro fans dusting off the welcome mat of the friendliest place in town, your neighborhood tavern. It's National Tavern Month, and that means that the local pub is the scene of special good times all through the merry month of May. See me there while you're watching the CBS Game of the Week, brought to you by Falstaff, of course. Hey, innkeeper... Show the fans the best in cool refreshment. Puts me in mind the words of that renowned bard of the brass rail. Me. Goes something like this. Tavern month and all through the year. Go, go, go for Falstaff. That is my beer.
All right. I look forward to sharing with you some information about apraxia. This is Apraxia Awareness Month, and it's something I think you want to learn about. Just a hunch. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of Gunk.
Join me next time when I go back in time again. Not in an exciting way like in a film. I'm probably just looking at some old pots or something.
888-688-WALT. You and I get to be together once a week from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. East Coast time. Exciting. Where is that thing? So Taylor Swift is in Philadelphia tonight, the only place where I think she's performed three nights in a row. Everybody in Philadelphia is abuzz and alive because of Taylor Swift. And what I've mentioned before is the fact that she's a genius. And she's a genius because most young entertainers think it's going to last forever. They get two or three songs and that's it. The muse leaves them and they're working cruise ships. Taylor Swift, from day one, has put on a Las Vegas show. A state-of-the-art, fancy set, insanely expensive Las Vegas show. She could move it right now to Las Vegas, perform there for the next 30 years, and have hit after hit after hit, and crowd after crowd. Brilliant. The Swifties need to thank me for saying that she's brilliant. I have a Twitter account. It's Walter M. Sterling, the Twitter account. The Facebook account is Walter M. Sterling or Walter Sterling, I forget. But I look forward to hearing from Swifties and saying, thank you, Mr. Sterling. Thank you for doing this. Apraxia. This is Apraxia Awareness Month. A-P-R-A-X-I-A. Apraxia. Apraxia is a condition at birth. Childhood apraxia is a condition at birth where the child's jaw and tongue don't work together in a way that's efficient. And therefore, it is exhausting for them to make words and to say things. And they have to consider a word many, many times in their head or in whispers before they are brave enough to say it. These kids are called warriors. It's Apraxia Awareness Month. It's not autism. It's not any sort of a mental defect. Most of these kids are very smart, very social, funny as hell. But they have this condition which makes it difficult for them to speak at the appropriate age level. And my 11-year-old Samantha has apraxia. We found out she had apraxia when she was 1 year old. We go to the pediatrician. Now remember, I had two older kids. I knew how things were supposed to go. We took the kid to the pediatrician at one, and the pediatrician looks at us and say, how many words does she say? And we're looking at each other like, I don't know, mama, dad, that's all she could say. And the pediatrician said, well, she's one, she should be able to speak 50 words. And we're like, 50 words? We're nowhere close to 50 words. Her other development was slow, too. It took her longer to walk, than the other kids. She was almost two before she walked. Now she's in school. She's ending fourth grade. If you were to meet Samantha and talk to her, you wouldn't really know there's a problem because she's adaptive like crazy. So she only chooses words that she knows she can say. But if you listen carefully, she's leaving out words, or she could make a better choice of the words. Her choice is what can she say? And she is brave because she's the most social person I have ever met. You're going to communicate with her, and she's going to make darn sure you communicate with her. And she's funny, and she's a character, because those are all of her adaptive skills. And when you ask Samantha, what would you like to do? You know, when you grow up, what do you want to be? At first, she said she wanted to be a traffic cop. Okay, that went on for about a year. And now, for the past several years, she wants to be a firefighter. What do traffic cop and firefighter have in common? They don't need to speak to do their job. That's her adoption. That's her adaptation. However, she's in fourth grade. She speaks at a second grade level. She reads at a kindergarten level. And she really can't write. Her handwriting is terrible. All of that development is slow, but there's nothing wrong with her brain. Like I say, she's smart and clever, and everybody likes her because she's the happiest person I know. But the condition she has is apraxia, A-P-R-A-X-I-A. I am asking you, because you and I talk often, I've been on the air with you almost 10 years, I'm asking you to take a moment and look at the apraxia website. Look on Google for childhood apraxia and learn about it. It is a gentle, non-obtrusive to society condition. You don't have to feel bad for her. You can feel great for her because she is a warrior. She decides every morning that this is not going to bother her. We've had speech therapy for her since she was about two. And the thing that's important to remember, if you have a child who's speech challenged, almost every state, and I believe every state, has special services for these kids. And before they're in school, they will send a special teacher to your home. And once they're, and before school, there are major hospital systems that have speech therapists available, covered by insurance, that will help your child who's speech delayed. It's called speech delay. learn to speak. From time to time on Sterling on Sunday, we have had callers who have trouble speaking. And you will notice that I always give them wide berth. They get to say whatever they want to say in the time they have to say it. And the reason for that is it takes guts to call a radio show. For somebody with no impairment, it takes courage to call a radio show and speak to America. That takes courage. But to have a speech impediment and call a radio show and risk being hung up on just because, that's a tragedy. I have learned through Samantha some very important things. When I run into people in life who have some liability, some physical liability, some emotional liability, I give them all the time they need to communicate and ask for what they want, to get what they want, and to become part of my day. That is the least I can do. And it's actually the most I can do. Because Samantha has taught me so much about how to be patient and tolerant. I give Samantha all the time she needs to say something. And now that she's older, more self-aware, I'll say to her, Samantha, what is this? And sometimes she'll look at me and she'll go, I need a little more time in my brain to answer that. She'll say, I need more time in my brain to answer that and come up with an answer. That's my Samantha. And then she'll say something funny. She has some other gifts. She's incredible with animals. She'd be a great veterinarian assistant. She'd be terrific taking care of cats and dogs, a dog walker, a cat sitter. These are things she could do easily because she's gifted with cats and dogs. She refers to our two cats as her children. She's their mommy. They better listen to her. She tells them what to do, and they do. That's the thing. The rest of us can talk to the cats. They look around. The minute Samantha walks in, oh, my gosh. Those cats respond. They follow her. They do what she says. And that's because she's from the angels. Before she goes to bed some nights, I say to her, how many angels are here, Samantha? And it's usually five. She usually has five angels watching over her, and she's an angel. The greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday, all right? Right. Stay bright.